Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
Microsoft Dynamics 365 and Oracle ERP Cloud are two titans in the marketplace when it comes to large, complex ERP systems. These options are important to evaluate the unique needs of the organization versus the pros and cons to ensure you're selecting the software that's the best match for your business needs. I'm Kyler Cheatham with Third Stage Consulting Group. We are a global, independent, and technology agnostic advisory firm that helps our clients achieve the third stage of digital transformation. Our support includes helping them choose the best software that meets the needs of their organization and will achieve their objectives as a business. In this video, we are going to compare Microsoft Dynamics 365 versus Oracle ERP Cloud. To kick this off, I want to play you a clip of an independent and completely technology agnostic review of Microsoft Dynamics 365 that was crafted by our founder and CEO, Eric Kimberling.
So to fully understand what D365 is, it helps to look at the history of Microsoft Dynamics and Dynamics 365. So about 20 years ago, when Microsoft started really pushing into the business technology and enterprise software space, they went out and they acquired a few different companies. Companies like Navision, Great Plains, Xapta, those were all standalone ERP systems that were acquired and eventually rolled into the umbrella of Microsoft Dynamics. And for several years, Microsoft allowed these three systems to coexist under the Microsoft Dynamics umbrella, under their original brand names of Great Plains, Xapta, Navision. And eventually, they came out with their current flagship offering, which is Microsoft Dynamics 365. And essentially what they've done here is they've combined the best of those acquisitions and those legacy solutions to create a more common system that stands alone as Dynamics 365. It's also a solution that has been built in the cloud, and so it's meant for cloud deployments. It was one of the early adopters of cloud deployments. And Dynamics 365 has two different primary products or sub-products, if you will. One is called Business Central, Dynamics 365 Business Central, and that is the solution for smaller and mid-market companies. It's the more vanilla solution for simpler organizations, those that aren't looking for a big heavy ERP implementation, and ones that are looking for a lower cost option. Business Central can be a good fit in those cases. In other cases, they also provide D365 Finance and Operations, which Finance and Operations is sort of the bigger ERP solution that's meant to compete with SAP and Oracle and some of the other larger ERP vendors. So typically multinational companies and larger, more complex organizations will deploy the Finance and Operations version of Microsoft D365, while the smaller counterparts will typically implement Business Central. I recently published a video that provides a more in-depth review of Dynamics 365. What I'd like to do here today is summarize some of the strengths and weaknesses of the product. Starting with the strengths, one of the biggest strengths of the product is that it's flexible. When you compare it to other systems in the marketplace, it's generally going to be more flexible. It's something that can be configured in a number of different ways, and it can also be customized in a number of different ways as well, which could be a good or a bad thing. So that sort of flexibility is one of the big advantages of D365, as is its open architecture. The Dynamics platform was originally built on the .NET platform, which is a very open architecture that's meant to integrate third-party systems, and it's a way to tie together multiple systems into the platform. So if you're a company that has multiple legacy systems and you're looking for flexibility in integration to other systems, D365 can be a great fit. A couple of the disadvantages of the product, however, are that, first of all, the flexibility itself can be both a strength and a weakness. And what I mean by that is the flexibility of the product can also become overwhelming to organizations and project teams. it can be very difficult to decide how you want to configure the software because you have so many options. And many organizations and project teams get tangled up in all the options that they have in deploying the solution. The same goes for the ease of customization and the ability to customize. The fact that you can customize the solution and you can be flexible in the way you deploy it doesn't necessarily mean that you should. And so what we find with D365 implementations oftentimes is that the flexibility ends up becoming a cover or a cover-up for all the change management issues that your organization may have in its ability to change. And the final weakness of the product is that it is a product that isn't as robust as some may need in certain industries or in certain diverse operations. So for example, if you're an organization that has very complex manufacturing needs, there's probably better products out there that can handle some of your manufacturing needs. Same for warehouse management. If you're a high volume, complex distribution company, it may be tested or stressed by the needs that you have as an organization. So when evaluating D365, you really want to make sure you pressure test some of those outlying capabilities and the outlying business processes, especially as it relates to your secret sauce or your competitive advantage related business processes. When evaluating Microsoft Dynamics 365, it's helpful to understand the ecosystem of Microsoft. And what I mean by ecosystem is the supporting organizations and the supporting environment that allows you to use third parties to deploy the software. So Microsoft generally doesn't sell their software directly to consumers or end organizations. What they generally do is rely on third-party VARs or value-added resellers. These are organizations that are third-party partners of Microsoft, and their intent and focus is to implement Microsoft D365. Now, this is a good thing because it gives organizations a lot of different options, a lot of different resources in the marketplace that can help you deploy the product. The downside is that there's so many different options in the marketplace that there's a lot of variation in the capabilities of the different VARs and resellers that are out there. So you really want to vet those resellers carefully and make sure that you're navigating the sort of fragmented ecosystem carefully. Now, the other dimension that is both a strength and a weakness of the Microsoft ecosystem is they have what's called ISVs, or independent software vendors. And these, again, are third-party organizations that not only implement Microsoft D365, but in most cases, they've also built some sort of unique capability on top of D365. So you might have an industry-specific solution that takes the D365 platform and tailors it for a specific industry, and that IP or that intellectual property is only offered by that one ISV. So again, it's a pro and a con, because in one hand, it allows you to find a very specific version of Dynamics 365, but on the flip side, it's also exposing you to a third party that may or may not be a good fit for your organization, and it creates just yet another option that you have to choose from. The other thing that this calls into question is that with ISVs, they're the only ones that can support that version of the software. So you've somewhat limited your options in terms of who can support that specific version of Dynamics 365. So in general, if you're looking for something that's both has the capability of a broad, big ERP system, but is also tailored for your industry or your specific needs, then Microsoft D365 can be a great fit for you. Now, the Dynamics 365 product rates fairly high in terms of its general functionality and capabilities. It can provide a very broad set of capabilities and business processes and workflows to help automate your business. But implementing the solution is a different story. Sometimes implementing can be very difficult. It can be challenging. I've mentioned the fact that the flexibility of the product can actually create problems during implementation if you don't have strong project governance and you don't have a strong vision of what you want of the product. So that's one thing to watch for, is the flexibility of the product is mostly a strength, but it can create risks and challenges during implementation. The other challenge of Microsoft Dynamics 365 implementations is that, as I mentioned before, the flexibility of the product can actually mask some of the change management issues that you may be facing within your organization. So in other words, just because you can change the software to do what you want it to do or the way you might operate today doesn't mean that you should. So what ends up happening oftentimes is we see clients that who are resisting change, who want to keep doing things the way they always have, but use a new software to do it, and they end up changing the software just to automate the way they've always done things. So that's a dynamic you really want to watch for, and Dynamics 365 implementations tend to require even more change management support than other ERP systems. And finally, another challenge with D365 implementations is that because of the flexibility and the architecture, the open integration, all the advantages on the technical side, it ends up creating a myopic focus on the technology. You end up focusing resources on the technology pieces of the transformation rather than the more important operational and organizational pieces. So that's a pitfall you want to watch for, is don't let the flexibility and the complexity of the product suck you into a focus strictly on the technology, because ultimately it's the people and process side of the equation that will ultimately make you successful. So these are a few of the things to think about as you consider a Dynamics 365 implementation. Now, to be successful in your Microsoft Dynamics 365 transformation, I encourage you to download our definitive guide to a successful Dynamics 365 implementation. This guide lays out some of the best practices and lessons learned from our experience helping clients implement Dynamics 365. But in summary, or in general, some of the things that you want to think about are, first of all, make sure that D365 is the right fit for you. Make sure you've evaluated it against other options in the marketplace. Once you've chosen the software, if you do decide that D365 is the right fit for you, make sure that you have a solid implementation strategy and plan that addresses some of the risks and pitfalls that we've talked about here today. And probably more than anything, make sure that you have solid change management. You have a very clear change management strategy that's meant to address some of the challenges we've talked about here today.
So let's recap some of the key pros and cons of Microsoft Dynamics 365. This product fills a really unique spot in the marketplace for ERP software, because it is broad and scalable enough for some of the world's largest organizations, but at the same time, it's incredibly flexible to meet higher to mid-size organizations. The reason it's easy for us to go through these software evaluations is because we have absolutely no affiliation or financial ties with Microsoft. They even often get mad at us when we talk about things that are happening within their marketplace, like the sunsetting of their Great Plains software. As an overview of Microsoft Dynamics 365, it's really comprised of those two primary versions, which is Operations and Business Central. Now, F&O is generally the product that's used by more complex global organizations, while Business Central is often used by smaller to mid-sized organizations. They have both of these systems kind of intertwined because of acquisitions Microsoft has made over the years. Now, arguably, the biggest strength of D365 is the traditional Microsoft look and feel, which is familiar to a lot of organizations, and user adoption can often be more successful. In that same lane, user experience in some ways is more intuitive among employees that are using Microsoft Office 365, SharePoint, Teams, and other Microsoft productivity tools. That integration is very smooth when it comes to the core ERP with those different applications. It's also known for its flexibility and ease of integration across many other systems. A piece of feedback we get from a lot of our clients utilizing or considering D365 is its ability to really create that interoperability across the organization with data integrations and full visibility into different workflows. Its open architecture makes it really easy to integrate with different third-party systems that might be specific to your industry or bolt-on applications. Now, this does have a dark side. Just because D365 is very flexible doesn't always mean that flexibility is a good thing. It's very easy to snowball and overcomplicate this system because of all of its opportunities and functionalities. Doesn't mean that you need to utilize all of those for your organization. Another consideration with a very flexible system is it can be difficult to really strategize on implementation and lead to overall failure. An implementation or ERP failure of this size can be incredibly expensive and disruptive to the business. Another consideration is just the overall maturity of D365 and its functionality. The system does suffer from lack of maturity just due to recent introduction into the marketplace. Some of the more advanced functionality that exists in Microsoft Dynamics or customers might be used to, the on-premise solution, has not been integrated into the SaaS or cloud-based platform. Now, one of the biggest drawbacks and a super important consideration when looking at Microsoft D365 is the reseller network. The reseller partner network is arguably the biggest weakness of this system. Because Microsoft takes a really laissez-faire approach to managing its partner network when compared to other vendors, and that leads to really subpar implementation partners. Now, an implementation partner is incredibly important on the technical side of achieving a successful digital transformation. Without really a niche expertise into this weakness or an independent consultant advisor coach like Third Stage, it is really hard to get a quality implementation partner with D365 knowledge. So in summary, is D365 a good fit for your organization? Well, as always, that depends on your business priorities and goals. But if you are looking for something that is incredibly flexible, that is well known in the marketplace, and relatively easy to use, D365 could be a great option for your organization. However, if you're in search of something that is more mature in functionality or has a lot of tight processes, standardization, there are other products such as SAP S/4HANA, for example, that might be a better fit for what your needs are as an organization. If you are considering D365 as your ERP software, I highly recommend you download our Microsoft Dynamics 365 handbook, which I have linked down here in our notes wherever you are getting this video today. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe to our channel for more information on what software might be right for you. And continue watching here because we are going to go into a comparison of Oracle ERP Cloud.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
So now that we've really dove into the pros and cons of D365, let's transition to the comparison between D365 and Oracle ERP Cloud. So just like before, I'll play Eric Kimberling, our CEO and founder's review of Oracle ERP Cloud, and we will summarize the comparison between the two.
Oracle has been working long and hard at their whole ERP application offering. Back in the early 2000s, Oracle acquired JD Edwards and PeopleSoft, Hyperion, and a number of other ERP-related systems. And also in the early 2000s, Oracle developed Fusion, which was a middleware intended to pull together all of these different applications they had acquired. And now with the migration to the cloud and with the evolution of Oracle Fusion, Oracle has completed its transition to the cloud, or at least it's in the process of completing its transition to the cloud. And so Oracle ERP Cloud really is a culmination of all of those efforts over the years. Now, Oracle is commonly compared to SAP. It's one of the most common options for the larger organizations and the more global and multinational types of organizations. But there's some distinct differences between SAP and Oracle. And I'm going to talk about Oracle in general, in particular how it relates to SAP as well as other ERP systems in the marketplace. So one of the biggest strengths of Oracle ERP Cloud, particularly if you're comparing Oracle to SAP, is its flexibility. In general, it's a product that, because it's been built via a best-of-breed acquisition model of acquiring all these different systems that I mentioned earlier, it's really taken the best of these different applications that it's developed, and it's created a very flexible offering. Not only is the software itself flexible in terms of the general capabilities it can provide to different types of organizations, but the whole Fusion middleware provides a certain amount of flexibility and gives you a lot of different options in terms of what types of systems you might bolt on to Oracle-based systems, even if those systems aren't Oracle-based. So in general, the functionality of the product itself, as well as the architecture with Oracle Fusion as the middleware, provides a lot of flexibility and options that other ERP providers generally aren't able to provide. So flexibility is something that's important to you. If you're a nimble organization, you're growing quickly, you're multinational, you have diverse needs across your organization, Oracle can be a very good fit for you. Another strength of Oracle ERP Cloud is its breadth of capabilities. There's certain capabilities that the product is very strong at. So in addition to providing general broad capabilities that span financials and supply chain, manufacturing, warehouse management, performance management, human capital management, CRM, all the stuff that you might expect from an ERP system, there's a few different areas where Oracle ERP tends to be stronger than some of its competitors. One example is a function called CPQ. That's an acronym for Configure Price Quote. So if you're an engineer-to-order type of manufacturing organization or a make-to-order manufacturing organization, or perhaps you're a construction organization where you rely on different estimates and bids in order to sell your product, the CPQ capability is something that's very strong with Oracle. And what that does is it allows your sales team to not only sell your product or service, but it allows you to configure and quote a customizable or tailored offering to your customers. So if you're the type of organization that has that type of product where you would benefit from that, the CPQ capability can be very strong. Now, another area that Oracle is very strong is in its human capital management and talent management. So if you're an organization that might be looking at Workday or SuccessFactors, but you're also looking at potential ERP solutions, Oracle can be a great fit and a great alternative to SuccessFactors or Workday, simply because the capability is very strong, but it also integrates very nicely with the core Oracle ERP functionality. And then a third area that Oracle is very strong in functionality-wise is its general performance management, business intelligence, and reporting types of capabilities. So Oracle, several years ago, bought Hyperion, which is sort of a best-in-class financial reporting and consolidation type of tool. That's one example of capabilities that Oracle has built into its offering. In addition to that, it tends to be very strong, not just in terms of financial reporting, but also just general dashboards and general business intelligence and enterprise performance management. So if getting real clear visibility into your organization, quantitative visibility is very important, that's another strength of Oracle as well. So while on one hand, Oracle ERP Cloud has some broad capabilities, there are some areas where Oracle ERP Cloud is not yet mature, or at least not yet mature compared to its legacy on-premise counterparts. So one example is manufacturing. That's an area that Oracle ERP Cloud is not quite as far along as, say, JD Edwards, the on-premise JD Edwards manufacturing solution that has been around for decades now and had the benefit of plenty of R&D dollars over the years. Oracle is taking the best of JD Edwards and other manufacturing capabilities and moving those capabilities to Oracle ERP Cloud, but that's still very much a work in progress. So if you're a complex manufacturer, that's an area that I'd highly recommend you really dive into and understand what the strengths and some of the limitations are of Oracle ERP Cloud in that regard. And then another example is more complex supply chains. Companies that have global supply chains, complex supply chains, that's an area where there's still some limitations of the new cloud solution. So if that's an area that's important to you, I'd highly recommend diving into that area as well. So in general, it's important to recognize that Oracle ERP Cloud, while it has a breadth of capabilities, is not quite as strong in several areas, including the two I've mentioned here, as it relates to some of its legacy products like JD Edwards and Siebel and PeopleSoft, for example. I mentioned before how flexibility is one of the strengths of Oracle ERP Cloud. And along those same lines is its ability to integrate with third-party systems. And because of that Fusion middleware that Oracle spent so many years developing, in fact, it was often ridiculed for many years because it took so long for Oracle to develop that solution, it's really given them a leg up compared to some of its competitors now because it had invested so heavily in that product for so long. So it's allowed Oracle to do two things. One is it's allowed Oracle to take these applications that it's acquired over the years, like JD Edwards, Siebel, PeopleSoft, et cetera, and integrate them into a cloud-based offering that ties together as a more cohesive unit. Secondly, it allows better integration with third-party applications. So if there's some sort of system that you need, either for regulatory purposes or just because you want a best-of-breed capability that isn't offered by Oracle, that Fusion middleware can make it easier to bolt in systems that complement Oracle ERP Cloud. So if integration is something that's going to be important to you, if you know you're going to have legacy systems or third-party systems that are non-Oracle based, Oracle ERP Cloud can be a great tool set to help you do that. So I've talked a lot about the different moving pieces and moving parts of Oracle. And while that's generally a strength in that there's a lot of capabilities, a lot of flexibility, a lot of integration that can happen with the solution, it also creates a certain amount of technical complexity that can be overwhelming for some organizations to handle. So for example, if you're an organization that doesn't have a very sophisticated or robust IT capability in-house, or you don't have solution architects in-house that can help manage some of these moving pieces and integration points, then Oracle may not be the best fit for you. But if you have a robust IT staff, you have solution architects that can figure this stuff out, it may be a good fit for you. But either way, I'd highly recommend that you watch out for the common pitfall with Oracle implementations, which is oftentimes organizations get so caught up in just trying to manage all these moving parts and trying to make the technology work and fit together that they forget about the more important parts of the transformation, the things related to people and processes, so the non-technical aspects of the transformation. So even if you do have the capabilities to support the complexity of Oracle, the other risk there that you still want to mitigate if you do move forward with Oracle is to ensure that you have proper focus on those people and process areas. So just as is the case with every review I do, there are some pros and cons with Oracle, and hopefully I've helped you identify what those strengths and weaknesses are here. Whether or not it's the right fit for you as an organization, it really depends on your priorities, your needs, and what your objectives are. If you're a high-growth, flexible, nimble, entrepreneurial type of organization that values scale and flexibility and integration, it can be a great fit. If you're a company that values consistency and standardization and common business processes and simplicity from a technology perspective, Oracle may not be the best fit. So it's really a matter of weighing those strengths and weaknesses and those pros and cons and figuring out what the right priority is for your organization.
So Oracle ERP Cloud is really one of the most common known ERP systems in the marketplace. And it really has helped a variety of businesses achieve a very successful digital transformation. That said, let's unpack some of the points that Eric made. So really, Oracle ERP Cloud right now is number two in the marketplace regarding market share, and that's right behind SAP S/4HANA. It's commonly used by Fortune 500 companies to Fortune 200 companies, so for larger, global, complex companies. So just like D365, Oracle ERP Cloud platform is relatively a new entrant to the ERP space. Oracle itself has a legacy company, but the flagship product in Oracle ERP Cloud is newer to the marketplace. So Oracle itself as an entity has been around for a long time and is really well established in the industry. However, some organizations still really don't have an understanding of what exactly Oracle ERP Cloud is in relation to their other legacy systems. The product itself is newer to the marketplace. It's a lot like SAP S/4HANA and Microsoft Dynamics 365. It just had a head start over a decade ago in R&D. What they called Oracle Fusion was the actual system. They spent a lot of time and money trying to develop Fusion as a solution. And at the time in the industry, they really took a lot of criticism for never really releasing Oracle Fusion. They were having a lot of trouble in technical development, but that said, now Oracle ERP Cloud gets those 10 years head start on SAP and Microsoft in R&D budget. It's also a cool consideration that Oracle started off as a database company. And that's worth noting because Oracle's databases are a key foundational piece of both Oracle Fusion and Oracle ERP Cloud. Another confusing piece in the marketplace is Oracle ERP Cloud is not the same as Oracle NetSuite. NetSuite is a product that Oracle actually acquired several years ago, and NetSuite really owns that small to mid-market companies, We recommend NetSuite a lot, but it's not always a great comparison with D365 because a company looking at D365 likely has the size of what you would need for Oracle ERP Cloud. It's much like D365 in the fact that it is a multi-tenant cloud solution. So that means that that subscription-based or SaaS-based solution could be flexible, but a little less flexible than D365. So that distinction is important that Oracle Fusion, Oracle ERP Cloud, and Oracle NetSuite are all different solutions that need their own evaluation within an organization. Some other key considerations when you're looking at Oracle ERP Cloud is that cloud maturity. It really needs to be a key consideration when looking at enterprise technology. And really that just alludes to the fact that Oracle ERP Cloud has not been around that long as, say, eBusiness Suite or other Oracle's legacy products. Another example of this is something like JD Edwards that had an on-premise solution that's been in the marketplace for a long time. And now Oracle, like many other companies in the software marketplace, is undergoing a massive transition to the cloud, which again, we talked about, they have a little bit of a head start, a foot in the door with the whole cloud migration because of Oracle Fusion. Though it's still not a mature solution when compared to eBusiness Suite or JD Edwards or even NetSuite that has been in the cloud longer than Oracle ERP Cloud. The reason that this is so important when you're implementing Oracle ERP Cloud within your organization is that you recognize any of these weaknesses or lack of functionalities. We have a lot of clients, like Eric mentioned, that have very complex requirements, and we've ultimately found out through our extensive evaluation process that Oracle ERP Cloud systems was too much of a stretch for the functionality that they needed. These capabilities simply have not transitioned to the cloud yet. That doesn't mean Oracle doesn't plan to do that someday. It's just not something that every functionality that you'd get with their on-premise legacy systems will now be in market for you to utilize. The reason we are so passionate about talking about this is we see a lot of organizations that get stuck with the limitations of the cloud maturity of this product. And the bummer part about that, maybe I shouldn't say that, and the negative in that is that many times software vendors, because it's their job to sell you software, won't be completely transparent about the lack of limitations, which is why we are often in the room when these negotiations or selections are happening, so we can ensure that our clients are achieving maximum business value with the requirements that they need from a software system. A common theme of Oracle ERP Cloud and D365 is the products are very flexible. They can create tools and have the ability to tailor or customize the software to best meet the needs and processes of your business. As we talked about earlier in this video, there is drawbacks to over-flexibility. Just because you can change something doesn't necessarily mean you should. What's going to happen here if you're looking at these two systems side by side is you have a clear future state operating model and business process maps to ensure you're choosing the right level of flexibility for your business. Historically, Oracle has been extremely strong in data analytics, financials, all things that look at enterprise performance management. And that stems from its history as a database company. If you are an organization that is very data heavy and likes to have extensive analytics within your core systems, Oracle ERP Cloud could be a very healthy solution for you. Another key consideration when you have such a strong database foundation is you have the ability to take those automations, AI, machine learning, more emerging technologies to the next level. It has the foundation to enable artificial intelligence and machine learning because of that data-oriented enterprise performance management background. This can go across your organization when we're looking at EPM or CRM for your sales team, supply chain management, all of those different data-heavy departments that really need that ability to use the system and dig into analytics. That said, if that emerging technology in AI automation, smart manufacturing, is important to your organization and is a core need for your system upgrade, Oracle ERP Cloud is a great option. Another consideration when it comes to looking at Oracle ERP Cloud is just the complexity and cost. Because it is so data heavy in its system, it has that ability to become very overwhelming. This complexity leads to increased time and cost during implementation and just overall is more challenging. You need to consider what needs to be customized or configured to set up the system to work to showcase those end-to-end processes. The downside of this is just overkill, right? Or too much complexity for smaller organizations. But if you are that larger organization or you aspire to be in such a high growth area, it's going to provide all of those capabilities, a robust list of capabilities that you might be looking for. The last thing to consider is Oracle ERP Cloud is expensive. It is one of the top ERP systems in the industry, and when it comes to looking at cost versus functionality, it certainly has robust capabilities and is worth the cost that it charges. But if budget is a key consideration, looking at something like D365 side by side would be a good option for you. And the one consideration I'll add for both of these systems is that implementations are incredibly complex because likely these larger organizations are more likely to fail just because there's more opportunity for breakage or pain points. That's not necessarily something that points to the software directly, but it's a consideration when you are a larger, very sophisticated, complex organization, you want to ensure that you have appropriate implementation phase zero planning and a very strong project management core team to ensure your implementation is on track. I hope that overview helps you compare these two very sophisticated ERP systems for your business. If you do have any questions about software selection or maybe a functionality that your industry needs specifically, feel free to reach out to me directly at kyler.cheatham@thirdstage-consultinggroup.com. My contact information is also in the description for this video. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I will see you next time.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.